Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, family. Now it's time for us to get into that conversation with Dr. Tracy, who's joining us from Paid Spell. She's going to be speaking to us about palliative care for children. Dr. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to everybody who's listening out there. I'm wishing them a very joyful Friday.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's so great to be chatting with you this morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning Empowerment. And this is an interesting subject that we're talking about today. Today is Hats On for Children's Palliative Care Day. And maybe for those who don't really know what this is all about, you can maybe introduce yourself to us. Let us know who you are, what you do, and then also what is pediatric palliative care.
Thanks so much. So I think today's celebrations, if people have a little look online later today, if they have an opportunity, to see how all over the world people are trying to create awareness, people like yourself, mm-hmm. about the topic of palliative care for children by wearing fun hats and creating these exciting hats. If you have a look at the expressions on everybody's faces, especially the children, mm-hmm. you see this enjoyment and this hope and this connection that they're having. And yeah. really, I think those pictures speak so much to the hopeful and the uplifting and the rewarding side of palliative care. And I think often it's a very misunderstood field where people hear the word palliative and they really do connect that very much with death and dying.
Mm.
Whereas our message from pediatric palliative care is that it is actually about living. It's about living for as long as possible and as well as possible. To go into the actual definition, the World Health Organization has defined palliative care as a healthcare approach that aims to improve the quality of life of patients and their families that are facing problems that are associated with life-threatening and life-limiting illnesses. And we do that through really communicating with the child themselves and their families to explore how they are suffering. Because it's often not only in the body. When a child is ill, mm-hmm. although there is illness in the body, it affects the family as a whole.
Very true.
Especially emotionally, spiritually, socially. You know, the job of children is to learn, to play, to grow and develop. And when they are ill, these things are under threat, and that puts a very complex amount of strain on a family. We're often just managing a disease is not enough, that we need to go deeper and we need to go further. So palliative care uses impeccable assessment and treatment modalities for pain and these other problems that are physical, but like I mentioned, also psychosocial. And spiritual. So it really is a holistic type of care where we don't want to just look at the name of a disease. A child is more than a diagnosis. We really are looking at the idea of personhood and the idea of a whole person and a whole family that are then part in turn of a whole community, and how illness can have an effect and how we can really be there as a healthcare system to help.
I love it, love it, love it. And I love the positive energy as well. Like you said, a lot of times when you just mention the word and the first thing that comes to people's minds is doom and gloom. And, you know, everyone's depressed and, oh, shame, man. Oh, the poor kids and all of that. And I love how, you know, your approach to it, which is that it's not about dying. It's actually about living. I remember hearing something about, it's not about how many years you've lived, but how much life has been in your years. How much life have you been able to squeeze into the years that you've been given?
I think that really is the approach. The approach, again, going back to that word of quality.
Yeah.
That we don't know the years we're given.
Yeah.
And for many of these children, going back to that definition, life-limiting and life-threatening, looking at those two terms, life-limiting being a condition, a health care condition where the likelihood of living many, many years or even into adulthood is very low. We know sadly that there are conditions, healthcare conditions, where we can say for certain that children may not live into adulthood and that they will have a short life. If you are faced with that, then you don't want your focus to be on death and dying. You want your focus to be on life and living, and you don't want your healthcare team to be a healthcare team that's focused only on end of life. So we really do encourage when families receive news of these kind of diagnoses where, where there is a chance that a child will die in childhood and have a short life, we really do want to feel that the families trust that the care that they will be getting will be aimed at improving day-to-day life and the grief that can come with it. I think often people feel that grief is something that only comes after a death, but that's not true. We know that grief is about loss, and that can start at any stage of the journey, and it isn't a linear thing. Grief can go up and down and back to front, and to be able to have a healthcare system that has got policies and plans and qualified people in place who can really be there to support support our citizens, I think it's really, I think it's really important.
Very important, very important. And so what's the difference between hospice care and palliative care?
So many people do use those terms interchangeably, but strictly speaking, palliative care is not a place. Palliative care is a state of mind and an approach and a field that is emerging that is also, we have textbooks and there's research and there are departments. We really, it is palliative care is a healthcare approach where we want to train healthcare professionals across the spectrum. So nurses, doctors, junior students, and anybody that comes into contact with a sick child and their family, we want to teach them about these principles of palliative care. And those principles are recognizing and exploring the needs that a sick child may have. And these are social, emotional, spiritual, and physical needs. Also to focus, to have the approach that every child has got a right to pain relief. And we should be knowledgeable when it comes to pain relief. And we should have access to medications across the country when children are in pain or have other distressing symptoms. Palliative care is also there to say we need a broader support system for families going through these experiences, which can really help them to live as positively and actively as possible. And that part of the team may include a social worker, a psychologist, an art or a music therapist. We really, we need to be placing value in the skills that these people can bring into overall well-being and healthcare, which palliative care speaks to. And really with palliative care having this principle that it is about maximizing quality of life, having a team approach and focusing on siblings and the family too. So really, palliative care is a very broad but exciting concept. Whereas hospice care, I think, often refers to end-of-life care specifically. So when nobody likes to think or speak about a young person dying. It seems, for many, it seems unnatural and unfair. And it can really cause, for many people, a spiritual crisis and an emotional crisis about the question of why. However, this doesn't mean it doesn't happen. So if it happens to you or a loved one, what you would really like in place is the best care possible, focusing on quality of life and living. But when the time comes, when death is inevitable, what you would also like is to have an environment that is loving, compassionate, and family-centered. And the work of hospice is really to create that, to create a space which is not clinical and cold and reminding the children of hospitals, but rather a place where you have access to skills like being able to put up a drip to give morphine if there's pain, like being able to have a suction machine if there's lots of secretions, like being able to have access to emotional support and spiritual support if you can't be in your own home. So the goal of hospice care really is to create create a place where more intensive care can be done, especially around end of life, but not in that hospital environment that I think many of us, not just children, really don't enjoy being in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is, it's so beautiful. And you know, this, as you're describing this and we're talking about the palliative care, it sounds so much like, it sounds more like a calling than anything else. It sounds like, it's not just simply going to be your qualifications and what you have on a certificate that's going to, help you to do this job, but to do this work, but it takes heart as well.
So really, I must say one of the biggest joys in our work is exactly that. It's the people we come across. I must give a very special shout out now to nurses across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Nurses really internationally are the backbone of palliative care. And I think it speaks to exactly what you're speaking to, that idea that you are called to do something. It's not just about the paycheck at the end of the month.
Yeah.
However, what has emerged through, for many of us who have been drawn to this work, is that while it is very special to be able to fulfill a calling,
mm-hmm.
it's become very clear that this is not just a nice to have part of the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
This is really something that our children have got a right to access.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been recognized as part of universal health coverage, and our National Health Council of South Africa did actually agree in 2017 that it should be accessible to all communities in our healthcare sector, and that there is a policy to integrate palliative care and pediatric palliative care into our healthcare system.
Mm.
So this really is a message of hope. Of course, we always would like budget to back that up,
right.
But things are moving and things are changing, and there is a sense of energy around pediatric palliative care on a government and provincial level. We're really hoping that the passion that is felt by the people who are called to do this work can just seep into many different parts of our healthcare sector, and that it's not just the children who are known to NGOs like ourselves that get the benefit of this way of doing healthcare, but actually this becomes our healthcare language for our children of South Africa, no matter where you are, if you're in Cape Town or Limpopo or you know, wherever you are, that this is something that the kind of care you can receive in South Africa.
I love it. I love it. And I love the holistic approach to it. I love when you say that this is actually a right. It shouldn't be a luxury.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's what we would all choose for our own children.
Exactly.
And for ourselves.
Exactly.
I always think when we fight for budget over many different things, but one thing is certain, each of us will have a day where our life ends on earth.
Yes.
And every single South African citizen will have that. And what we really hope in that time is when it is our last breath, that we are surrounded by compassion and by love and that feeling of connectiveness.
Right, right. So is there a difference when we're speaking of palliative care? Is there a difference when it's for children and versus when it's adult palliative care? Is there a difference there, or is it more or less the same kind of thing?
So children are just so unique.
Mm-hmm.
So no, it's a very different kind of field. A few of the quite obvious things. Obviously, children get very different types of conditions compared to grown-ups.
Okay.
So the disease profile that you look at, you know, children shouldn't be smoking heavily having heart disease or, you know, the kind of conditions that we see in grown-ups. So this often means, though, that the conditions are more rare and more complex.
Mm-hmm.
So this does mean for the children that often they do have long periods where they have to be in hospital, and it's not something that we aim always to try and keep children at home and not to separate families.
Mm-hmm.
But one aspect of this care is really it does need to be a care system that can extend from a hospital into a clinic, into a home, into the community. So I think that's a really important point, that this is a healthcare approach that needs to span different places for children.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that many children are not verbal. So their communication is very different.
Okay.
Most adults can explain very clearly or succinctly how they're feeling.
Yeah.
With children, our ways of assessing pain are slightly different, and we have to learn mostly through parents and caregivers their way of communication.
Yeah.
And also children are changing all the time. What you can do when you're 3 years old and what you understand at 3 years old about your condition is very different from what you can understand as a 13-year-old. And the losses that you experience differ with age. If you break your foot when you're 2, it's irritating because you have to be in a little cast.
Yeah.
If you break your foot when you have a tumor on your foot when you're 13 and you are the captain of your football team and it's about to be the weekend where it's the big championship final.
Yeah.
That is heartbreaking.
Yeah, yeah.
No? So just this idea that children have different developmental stages that you really have to be in tune with. And the other thing is I think people are far more uncomfortable speaking to children about pain and about dying and about serious illness. I think they think they're protecting children.
Yeah.
And children are very clever. They know, they read the adults and they read the room very well. And children can feel when we're not being honest and truthful. And I don't think that this is intentional. I think most of the time adults are trying to protect children. But instead we often, I think, make them feel more isolated and withholding information that they actually have a right to when it's their own body. But again, we need these kind of skills that you learn in palliative care training to be able to meet those very unique needs.
It sounds like quite a minefield. it can turn into a minefield. They're trying to figure out, okay, how do we go through this? And definitely, it's so great to know that there are people who are qualified who can help, you know, the entire family in figuring out how to move from point A to point B, how to deal with the situations that their child is facing. I also love that you said, it extends even to the siblings, because I know that can be a huge thing, you know, when you have the sibling who has these needs, that sometimes it can end up feeling like that's the only thing that exists. That's what your whole life is all about. So it's great to know that there are people who are actually qualified who can help the family navigate through the situation.
No, absolutely. We often have mothers and fathers or grandmothers saying to us, if only they could just cut themselves in half or clone themselves, that one could be with one child.
Yes.
You know, like that there is that feeling.
Yeah.
And those are also things that have to be spoken about. And just to come back to your minefield, you know, I think what I've learned over the last 6 or 7 years I've been doing it is the child will much rather that you navigate that minefield together, holding hands and going slowly and carefully, that they feel they're left alone at one end of the minefield while you're off on the other side. So I think, you know, that idea of communication and giving power and agency to children,
yeah,
I think it's important.
I love that. I love that. Let's go through it together. Don't leave me here and then kind of try and tell me how to get to your end from the other side.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what would you say? You've already told us about, you know, the people that you come in contact with, but what else would you say? What are some of the best parts of palliative care that you wish everyone knew, that you think everyone should know about?
I don't know where to start. So I do think, This idea that children don't have this understanding maybe that parents do, or that children can't cope with maybe what adults can. I think the biggest lesson I've learned is meeting some of these children. They are resilient. They are hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
They are not focused on their disease. They are focused on the relationships they have and the things they want to achieve. So I think that is really that's been one of my favorite parts. And another part is actually more practical as well. I think many people are frightened of giving children medication for pain.
Yeah.
And we come up with a lot of resistance, particularly with opioids. People are uncomfortable. There's been a big opioid crisis in America where people are very scared of addiction and pain medication. And when I was a junior doctor, I don't think we used enough medication to manage pain in children. And seeing the transformation when you can go in and relieve pain from a child, to give them that energy to do the other things they want to do. And it's not just pain. It's pain, nausea, vomiting, itching, headaches.
Yeah.
We are trained to focus and say, okay, we can't cure this brain tumor.
Yeah.
But we can give you medication to take away that headache.
Yeah.
And the absolute reward when you can control a symptom.
Yeah.
And give that child the gift of feeling better and being able to get on with their living.
Mm.
It's extremely rewarding. And I think that is a very practical thing for doctors and nurses to be able to be proud to stand up to say, no, children have got a right to pain and symptom relief just like adults.
Wow.
So I think seeing that transformation when you're able to intervene and take away those symptoms is very rewarding. And my last comment on the rewarding part, which may seem, it is sad to speak of, But when I worked in the hospitals, after children had died, there was not a plan to meet with parents and families again and to see how they were coping on their grief and bereavement journey.
Right.
And what our system and our model of care is has been now, and something that palliative care really supports, is the idea of grief and bereavement support being a really big part of holistic care. Mm. And being able to offer that has been a big gift, to see how people make meaning and make sense and make purpose of something that's indescribable and something that most people, you know, worst nightmares are.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, that has been very rewarding. And again, a shout out, that's not something a doctor can do. That's something where we've relied very much on social workers, therapists, family counselors, our art and music therapists.
Mm-hmm.
So really to recognize that holistic care and palliative care, it takes a team, it takes a village.
Yeah, yeah, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. So for those who might be interested in getting involved somehow, how can people get involved?
Firstly, just by listening, you being involved, thank you. Speak about palliative care, spread mm-hmm. the word. But on a practical note, there's some excellent organizations in South Africa. Our umbrella organization is called Patch SA,
mm-hmm.
and their website is patchsa.org. Our organization is called PEDSPAL, and you can find us online. We're at www.pedspal.org.za, and we're also on Facebook and Instagram. And there are some wonderful suggestions, both on PEDSPAL and Patch SA. Some of them just, I think most NGOs are very much in, please, if you can spare some funding, that would be much appreciated. But there are other ways of doing things as well. We have Nelson Mandela Day drives, where we have toiletry drives. We're involved sometimes with food relief funds. So they're different. If you just maybe join our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram, and when things pop up, then we'll let you know. But those are the two big places to visit, please.
PatchSA.org
and www.pedspal.org.za.
Got it. Tracy, thank you so much for the work that you do. Thank you so much for coming through today and speaking to us about the work that you do. Thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And please remind everyone to take their photos with their hats on.
Yes.
And they can use the hashtag #HatsOnForCPC, which is Children's Palliative Care. And you won't believe how much fun it is actually putting on a silly hat on a Friday. It's a good way to boost your mood for the weekend.
And the pictures the pictures are they're so heartwarming. They're so fun.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Because it's about life, okay?
It's about life.
That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
While we have life, we want it to be good.
100%, 100%. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
All right, family, that was Dr. Tracy Newpen there from PEDSPAL, and she was speaking to us about palliative care for children. Today is Hats On for Children's Palliative Care Day. And if you want to support, make sure you take your pictures, take some selfies wearing a silly hat and hashtag Hats On for CPC. Find out more about this on patchsa.org. And if you want to get involved, see how you can lend a helping hand to these children and to these families and this organization that's doing this wonderful work, right?
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.